take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, September 7th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. Kind of a weird situation for me here. I'm coming to you live from beautiful legal potland, Oregon, in a condo, the 26th floor of the 30-floor Ardea Tower on the south waterfront. Been here for a few weeks now, and so you're probably used to me streaming and podcasting from here. But today, they've got the window washers going. You know, the big skyscraper window washers, and they haven't yet made it up to my level, but their ropes are hanging down right through the windows there. They're going to be up here any minute, so it's going to be really weird. If it seems like I'm a little weird today, it's because I've got window washers watching me, and it's kind of freaking me out, man. On today's show, we've got some fantastic data to get to in our drug war data mining segment. Some new polls are out, especially in California. You've probably already heard the good news about that one. Also, a new poll in Arizona that's better than some of the old other ones. And we've got polling on medical marijuana in Florida to bring you. So we'll talk about that in the drug war data mining segment. Also on the show today, in Behind the Headlines, a terrible story that I just picked up off of Huffington Post about a man. Well, the long story short of it is that he died in jail and had to do with him smoking marijuana in his own home. So we'll get into that story that's coming to us out of Virginia. Also coming up on the show today, as the NFL is about to kick off, I'm bringing back an interview from this spring where I spoke to Marvin Washington, the former NFL player at the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo. And we spoke a little bit about the use of medical cannabis for players in the NFL and that controversy. The league still bans it as a substance. So that's coming up in our newly crowned segment, High on Sports. So that's coming up at half past. And then at the end of our first hour today, I'm going to go off on a radical rant because, you know, as marijuana becomes more legal, it's beginning to feel like we've won this battle in some places. You know, we're getting, like I said, these California poll numbers that we're seeing, but that doesn't mean that we can abandon everyone else who is a drug consumer. And I want to address the cannabis community and our attitude toward users of other drugs. We'll cover that in the radical rant. But everything starts, of course, with the cannabis radio news. In the headlines today, we will bring you some news from Colorado, where they've set another nationwide first. We've got news from Alaska on the development of their retail program. Delaware's medical marijuana is not going so well. We've got Ohio medical marijuana starting tomorrow. The law kicks in tomorrow. And speaking of the NFL, we've got a player with the Buffalo Bills who's appealing his drug test suspension. That's all coming up in hour one, and then stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We've got some more marijuana stories to bring you. Actually, just drug war stories. An example of some of the worst headline writing when it comes to reporting on marijuana science. Typical example from the mainstream media. We'll bring that up in hour two. Also, story out of Utah, where the Drug Enforcement Administration, they don't need no stinking warrants. They want to snoop around in Utah's prescription drug monitoring database without a warrant, and we'll tell you the details about that. We'll close things up in hour two with a segment, an update, international update, on the Philippines drug war, where that President Duterte is going off again. It's just a massacre out there in the Philippines. We'll bring that all to you in the next 2 hours here on The Russ Belville Show, live from beautiful, legal Potland, Oregon.
This is The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belleville Show.
Tennessee's Congressman Steve Cohen.
Well, you know, if marijuana is a gateway drug, then kissing is a gateway activity to sexual addiction.
U.S. Representative Jared Polis.
Yes, we really have a growing group of representatives that support decriminalization.
It's the Russ Belleville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals, or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belleville Show.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, September 7th, 2016. Denver, Colorado. Colorado notched another nationwide first Wednesday involving cannabis when state agriculture officials showed off the first certified domestic hemp seeds. The Colorado Department of Agriculture has been working for years to produce hemp seeds that consistently produce plants low enough in the chemical THC to qualify as hemp and not its intoxicating cousin, marijuana. The seed certification, quote, is vital to the long-term growth of the industry, end quote, said Dwayne Sinning of the department that oversees the state's 400 or so hemp growers. Hemp production was authorized by Congress in 2014, but farmers who want to grow it must have state certification to raise the crop. The industry estimates that fewer than 7,000 acres of hemp are being grown nationwide this year. Seed scarcity is cited as a major roadblock to the use of hemp becoming more widespread. Seed prices can start at $25 a pound and go up to more than a dollar for an individual seed. Juneau, Alaska. The board regulating Alaska's fledgling legal marijuana industry started a two-day meeting Wednesday, during which it was expected to approve licenses for the state's first retail marijuana outlets. But Alaska's Marijuana Control Board delayed for at least another month action on a proposal that would give certain retail stores permission to have areas where customers could light up, a key issue because tourists and others would otherwise be prohibited from doing so in public. Heading into Wednesday's meeting, the Marijuana Control Board had approved about 50 licenses for marijuana business operators, with an emphasis first on growers and labs that will test the marijuana. Starting Wednesday, the board planned to consider dozens more license applications, including requests from people who want to open stores to sell marijuana and those who want to manufacture marijuana products. Wilmington, Delaware. Patients who use Delaware medical marijuana say they still struggle to gain access to the drug legally and pay exorbitant prices when they do. The Wilmington News Journal reported Sunday that many people must drive hours to buy the drug from a legal dispensary. Some people purchase marijuana from drug dealers in an effort to quickly treat their pain and other debilitating conditions listed under the state's medical marijuana program. Medical marijuana cardholder Todd Boone says he has to drive 190 miles round trip to the state's only dispensary in Wilmington. Sometimes the store runs out of the strain that best treats pain from a 2008 motorcycle crash. He's now suing the state to open more dispensaries. Columbus, Ohio. The head of Ohio State's medical board says he won't participate in establishing rules for certifying doctors under Ohio's new medical marijuana law after taking on lobbying clients associated with the budding industry. Records reviewed by the Associated Press show that Mike Gonadakis recently acquired two out-of-state marijuana-related clients, Denver-based Marijuana Policy Group and Scottsdale, Arizona-based Farm LLC, a medical marijuana grower. Gonadakis, who is also serving as the president of the anti-abortion group Ohio Right to Life, confirmed his recusal in an interview with the AP. He said neither client has business before the medical board, but he wants to avoid even the appearance of a conflict. Ohio's medical marijuana law takes effect on Thursday. Orchard Park, New York. Buffalo Bills offensive tackle Chantrell Henderson is appealing the NFL's four-game suspension for testing positive for marijuana, according to a person with direct knowledge of the situation. The person spoke to the Associated Press on the condition of anonymity Wednesday because the suspension is being appealed and the NFL has not announced its ruling. The person said Henderson's appeal is based on him using marijuana for medicinal purposes to relieve the effects of Crohn's disease. Henderson was diagnosed with the inflammatory bowel disease last year and has since had two operations on his intestines. The first occurred in January when doctors removed a section of diseased tissue. In April, he had surgery to have his intestine reattached. ESPN.com first reported Henderson was facing a suspension. Coach Rex Ryan would only refer to it as a league disciplinary issue in saying he couldn't comment further and directed questions to the NFL. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, September 7th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase and gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Get the latest updates on The Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking The Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we tell you the sad story of a man named Mark Goodrum, who died at the Hampton Roads Regional Jail in Virginia. And he died because he was busted for smoking pot in his own home. He lived in an apartment complex, apartment building, big tower of some sort. Some of the other residents complained that they had smelled the smell of marijuana. The police showed up, and when they showed up, they could smell the marijuana, and the records show he was cited for misdemeanor possession,
and the marijuana was seized from the home. Shortly thereafter, the man, Goodrum, who's 60 years old, was evicted from his apartment. And then he missed his court date for the marijuana charge. After missing the court date, he then suffered a stroke, lost all the movement on his right side, and then he was an amputee, so he only had one leg, and that was on his left side, and his right leg didn't work no more. He was pretty much bedridden. That's a quote from a friend, interestingly named Elvis Blunt is his name. But as he continued dealing with all the medical issues, Goodrum missed another court date. So he's got two additional charges for failure to appear. And of course, the police put a warrant out for his arrest. And once he was arrested, he had fallen behind on his rent. The default judgment was entered against him. Police showed up. They got the warrants when he was evicted. The police showed up. They find they got warrants on him. And so they take him to jail. They lock him up. And according to his friend, Goodrum was all right until he got locked up, but when he got locked up, he died. He went to the Hampton Roads Regional Jail on October 14th, 2015, and was held on two bonds for $1,000. One secured bond, one unsecured bond. And if you know how bondsmen work, usually you can pay 10% and they'll cover your bail and you can get out of jail. So Goodrum just needed $100. And he could have paid the bail bondsman and been released. But Goodrum is a poor man, obviously a very disabled man, and had some mental problems as well. This guy didn't have $100 to his name. So he sat there in the jail. Sat there in the jail, got represented by a public defender, and he died of kidney disease. While he was there in the jail cell, had a history of all sorts of conditions. Now, normally, if you heard about this very sick man going to jail and dying there, you could account for the fact that, well, he was in some pretty poor health. But this jail has come under quite a bit of scrutiny. It's recently been named the deadliest jail in Virginia by the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Inmates there died 9 times more often than at any other local or regional jail in Virginia over the past 3 years. 9 times as likely to die at this jail. In fact, this jail was the place where Jamichael Mitchell, the story of Jamichael Mitchell happened. He was a mentally ill 24-year-old. He was arrested for a $5 theft, a petty theft, and he ended up dying in the jail. They're investigating, and there might be a federal civil rights investigation on the conditions of this jail to try to understand why are 9 times as many people dying in one Virginia jail than any other jail in Virginia. Now, the allegations here in a federal civil rights lawsuit filed by Jamichael Mitchell's family says that the jail and the company that at the time was providing medical care, the lawsuit alleges that the employees, quote, failed, among other things, to carry out basic procedures and provide proper care, end quote, at the Hampton Roads Regional Jail. The daughter of Goodrum wrote in an online tribute, quote, I am beside myself with regret that he was alone in his final hours and had been in jail last month on some ridiculous weed charge. He deserved better. And this also, I hope, brings to light for people out there listening the problem that we've got with our bail system in this country. There's numerous studies that show that the bail system that we've got is dysfunctional. It doesn't serve its purpose. It really doesn't lead to any greater rate of people showing up for their court appearances. What it really amounts to is jail time for people who are already poor, and then they lose their jobs and their apartments, and now they've got a criminal record. When someone like me, who can come up with $100, I could have bailed out that weekend and then gotten to work the next Monday. we need to investigate this more strongly and end this crazy cash bail system.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
All right, it's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone, so happy 4:20 to the Navajo Nation. That's right, the Navajo Nation in Arizona doesn't go along with Arizona in not recognizing daylight savings time, so they are in the Mountain Time Zone, while Arizona, for now, is in the Pacific Time Zone until the Sunday before the election, and then they're back to Mountain. Is that confused you? Smoke some pot. It'll make sense.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in CannabisRadio.com.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Mentions the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on CannabisRadio.com. And don't try to debate me on something. Motherfucker, I can't do many things well, but words are my shit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we've got three new state polls to look at for marijuana election night 2016, and we'll lead with the most exciting one. New poll coming out of California on Prop 64, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act. This is from the California Counts Survey, conducted by Southern California Public Radio, KPBS in San Diego, and KPCC in Los Angeles, and Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, and KQED in San Francisco. And they conducted this survey in partnership with Cal Speaks at Sacramento State. So the question here, this is direct from the poll, is Proposition 64 proposes a law that would legalize marijuana and hemp in California law and enact certain sales and cultivation taxes. If the election were being held today, would you vote yes to legalize marijuana or no to make no changes to the existing laws on marijuana? Do you lean more towards voting yes to legalizing marijuana or no to make no changes to existing laws on marijuana? And the number of Californians in this survey, the rate of Californians in this survey who would vote for legalizing marijuana under Prop 64 turned out to be 71%. Yes, 71% of Californians surveyed will support Prop 64. Now, this could have all sorts of impacts in this 2016 election, because our opponents have started to raise some money you know, the Project Sams and so forth. And if they see that California is hopeless, they just may redirect some of that money to the other markets like Arizona, Nevada, and so forth. That's great news. And the other thing I want to pull out of the data on this that is pretty remarkable is that when you go past the top line and you start getting to the breakdowns, all the demographics, there is not a single demographic in California that is against legalizing marijuana. Democrats, 80%. Independents, 72%. Republicans, 53%. 53% of California Republicans for legalization. Whites, 62%. Blacks, 68%. Latino, 81%. Other, 76%. Less than 30K, 75%. 30 to 50K, 70%. No matter what you made, it was about 70%. Education, people with less education actually supported it more. 74%, high school or less. Age groups, of course, 84% of the people aged 18 to 25, but even at age 65 plus, 50% said yes, compared to 45% who say no. There is not a single demographic in California in this latest poll that is opposed to the legalization of marijuana with Prop 64. Now, we also have a poll coming out of Florida to tell you about. For this poll, it's public policy polling. It was released Wednesday, today. And it says 70% of likely Florida voters will support Amendment 2, the medical marijuana amendment in Florida. Back in March, it was at 65%. So the support has gone up. Now, it only got 58% last election and needs 60% to pass. So getting this poll giving us 70% is very strong news indeed for the possibility of passing medical marijuana in Florida this time. 81% of Democrats support it, 70% of independents, and even 55% of Republicans supporting medical marijuana in the state of Florida. And finally, we've got a poll coming to us out of Arizona. And in this Arizona poll, let me see who's behind the poll. Arizona Republic Morrison Cronkite News poll finds that 50% of registered voters favor legalization, 40% oppose, and 10% undecided. Margin of error of 3.4%. That's pretty close, 50-40, and you figure some of those undecideds. When someone's undecided on a ballot measure, the easiest choice is no. The easiest choice is let's not change anything. But if even some of those come across, we are going to get a win at greater than 50%. But also understand that we haven't seen the serious ad buys yet, the serious spending going on to try to influence this election. So that's a good news poll coming out of Arizona, though, because previous polls had shown it at a disadvantage, a plurality disadvantages, like a 49-43 against, for example. So we may be getting more support. Again, partisan leanings, 64% of Democrats, 53% of independents, but Republicans, 56% are opposed, and Arizona can be a fairly Republican state. As they talk to the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol, J.P. Holyoake, the chairman of the campaign there in Arizona, Prop 205, says he plans to center the message on the benefits of taxing and regulating marijuana, saying, quote, "We didn't think we would ever be able to just run away with it. We knew that we were ahead, and we knew that if the vote were to be held tomorrow, we would win. We're 2 months away from Election Day, and there's a lot that could happen between now and then," end quote. The campaign manager for the anti-legalization group there in Arizona, the real ones, not the stoners against legalization, says they will be campaigning on how the measure is misleading, and they are pretty confident that as more info comes out, the voters will turn against it. We shall see. But folks, the polls I've seen so far, California looks like we're going to win. Maine looks like we're going to win. Arizona's close. Nevada's close. And Massachusetts may need some help. We're headed out to Massachusetts for the Boston Freedom Rally coming up in a couple of weekends. I'll tell you what I can find about the campaigns out there when I get back. All right, stay tuned. We've got some NFL for you as the league kicks off its season We spoke with Marvin Washington last spring in Fort Worth, Texas. We'll replay that interview for you coming up next.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Keep your cannabis cravings under control. Feed your mind with CannabisRadio.com.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs. You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Adrian, I finished it.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Marijuana has long been defined as a banned substance for athletes in almost every field of competition. But as emerging research continues to show the health benefits of cannabis over traditional sports medicine, more athletes are calling for cannabis tolerance in this edition of High on Sports.
We now replay for you an interview with Marvin Washington from the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo earlier this year in Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome back, everybody. Radical Russ here at day two of the Southwest Cannabis Conference and Expo, and I'm sitting in the media room with former NFL player Marvin Washington. Hi, Marvin.
Hi.
Tell folks a little bit about your background, where you went to college, some of the teams you played for.
Well, I went to college in the Great Northwest. I went to University of Idaho. Then I was lucky enough to get drafted. I played 11 years in the NFL. I played 8 with the New York Jets, 2 with the San Francisco 49ers, and picked up a Super Bowl championship with the Denver Broncos in 1998.
When were you attending University of Idaho?
Late 80s.
Yeah, so
the head coach was Keith Gilbertson.
So you are part of the reason my beloved Boise State Broncos got whooped 13 years in a row. You were part of that, huh?
You guys paid us back.
We sure did. Yeah, I was the Buster Bronco mascot my freshman year, and I remember being down there on the field. Just I think that first year was like a 60-something-13 blowout at Bronco Stadium. It was crazy.
You know, I'm really happy for Idaho football and the state of Idaho.
Yeah,
and I think Boise State is doing a wonderful job, and there's even talk of them joining the Big 12 as they expand this summer. That's huge.
That really needs to happen for sure. Let's talk a little bit about why you're here, because I understand you've got a lot of big news with respect to athletes and medical cannabis and what you're working on. Tell our listeners about it.
Of course. We're going to be the first company that comes out with a product that qualifies under anti-doping policies of the World Anti-Doping Association. That's a cannabis product. It has no CBD, it has no THC in it. And there are 207 banned substances on the WADA list. We don't have any of those substances. So we can market this to all four major leagues. We can market to major league college players, high school players, of all sports. And so this is big, and we're going to have this in the major leagues next year.
That's excellent. The World Anti-Doping Authority, of course, covers the Olympic sports, the amateur athletics and such, and they recently raised their metabolite threshold from 15 nanograms to 150. And part of why they said that is we don't want to be catching guys that may have smoked a joint weeks ago. We're really concerned about in competition. How is that argument playing with the NFL and some of the NCAA and some of these leagues have a little harsher stance on this?
Well, I think they've, you know, you see some of the major colleges and conferences that have gone more of treatment instead of suspension, and that's going to happen. And the NFL went from 15 nanograms to 35 nanograms, and, you know, they have a test once a year. And so it's not a drug test to me, it's an intelligence test. The thing about the NFL, they know you're dealing with 20-year-olds coming out of college. So they know what percentage of their guys are smoking. But they're aware of Medical Marijuana, Inc. They're aware of the subsidiary companies that are in there, and they're aware of the work that we're doing. I got involved because it deals specifically with CTE. And we have the patent that we got from the NIH that CBD has neuroprotectant, acts as a neuroprotectant and antioxidant for the brain in relationship to the NFL's industrial disease, which is CTE.
Yeah, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, this disease, you can't even tell someone's got it until after they've died. They have to do an autopsy.
Exactly. And so we don't want to see any more players, you know, abusing their wives. We don't want to see any more players abusing opiates and the pharmaceuticals, and we don't want to see any other player, God forbid, kill themselves.
This, of course, got a lot of play, a lot of attention due to Jovan Belcher, the suicide in Kansas City, Junior Seau, many players who have dealt... that have dealt with these issues, and it's becoming more and more on the league's radar. Will Smith was just in a movie, Concussion, that talked about the doctor who discovered CTE. But yet Roger Goodell and the NFL commissioner continues to say, well, our people say and our people still need research. And if the research points us that way, what's it going to take to push them over the edge on this? That they're finally going to recognize the research that you and I and a lot of people at this conference are aware of.
Well, I think this is a movement. And as it goes along, the states, you know, more states legalize it or for medical use and recreation. I think as the country moves, the NFL is going to move. The biggest thing that I'm hoping for is it gets reclassified or decriminalized, and the NFL will have to deal with it. But for Roger Goodell to say we're following the science, they need to lead the science, you know, because if an entity like the NFL, that's the biggest sports league in the world, gets behind this, then, you know, they'll take a lot of other they'll take college with them, they'll take high school with them, and then they'll take the other sports leagues with them. They need to research this. They want to deny, and I understand that, or mitigate CTE, but they need to get behind this. They had a wonderful opportunity to do it independently and fund the NIH, but they had veto power, so they didn't do it with Dr. Bob Stern because he was a critic, and he's one of the objectives to the concussion lawsuit. Tell you about the concussion lawsuit that all players should be pissed off. How do you have a concussion lawsuit and you leave out CTE?
Yeah.
You write it totally out, and that's why the lawsuit came about. So the NFL, if they want to get serious about it, show us the money.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, the NFL and other sports leagues currently are testing and banning cannabis as a controlled substance, as an illegal drug, as something morally you shouldn't do or something that might be dangerous to you. As the world changes and people recognize this for its medical value, do you wonder, well, let's just look at it this way. The past three Super Bowls, the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks have been in two of them each and won one of them each. And those are the two places where it's legal. Do you think they might start trying to say cannabis is a performance-enhancing drug?
No, they can't. They can't do that. And one of the things that I want people to do is, you know, get rid of ideology, get rid of the moral basis and whatever, and just follow the science. If you follow the science, you're going to come to a logical conclusion, but because it is there. It's helping kids that have these epileptic strokes and seizures, helping kids with autism. It's helping soldiers coming back with PTSD and these traumatic brain injuries. So let's study this deal. Let's reclassify, reschedule it, because there has been, the NIH has sent out over $500 million out of this country to other countries for them to study the science of marijuana, from Spain to Israel to all over. Let's keep that money here.
Yeah.
Let's make America great again.
You know, Trump was in this building just a couple days ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're speaking with Marvin Washington, and do you have, you gave me a card, but I put it in my pocket here. What is the company you're working with?
HempBed Sports. It's a subsidiary of a Medical Marijuana Inc., and you know, you can see all the companies that are underneath that umbrella. We're going to build a website for athletes for all ages, and the thing is that I know about CBD, but I know the benefits of THC, too. Let me say that.
Yeah.
And if there's ever a league that needs to experiment or let their players use the cannabis plant for pain relief, it's the NFL.
Yeah. The first step in the concussion protocol should be taking the guy back to the locker room for a volcano vaporizer bag full of cannabinoids.
Of course. But not only that, you know, the biggest issue with the NFL is, like, I've seen guys leave the NFL addicted to pain pills.
Mm.
And I've never seen them addicted to leave the game addicted to marijuana.
That was a big issue with Brett Favre back in the day when
he had his pain pill addiction.
And
there's a bunch of – he's not the only one. And, you know, what I was telling my sister on the way over here is, like, you know what the most dangerous thing about marijuana is? It's being caught with it. That's it, especially in states like Texas. That's the most dangerous thing that is being caught with it. But they let their kids go out there with their undeveloped brain, put on a helmet, run into each other, take these hits, 600 hits. Average high school players take 620 hits a season at the impact of 30, 35 miles an hour.
Jeez.
And you're letting them do this. But you don't want to fund or research the cannabis plant. So this country and the NFL has come a long way, you know, because who would have thought this 5 years ago?
Right.
But it has a long way to go.
Well, and even just 5 years ago, the only story you'd hear about this was Ricky Williams' story and him talking about his sabbatical and so forth.
Well, you know, Ricky Williams, let history be the judge of that. And I believe in 10, 15 years, he's going to be looked at as a pioneer and a trendsetter.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks, oh, he gave up his career for marijuana or whatever. No, he was trying to help himself heal his body because he was taking hits. And that was one of the things that helped his body besides, you know, the Anderson, the Naperson, the Oxycontin, the Percocet. Mm. He did something that's natural, has no negative side effects, no addiction problems with it or what have you. He did it. I think he's going to be one of the leading, when you look back on it, you know, if there's ever a Mount Rushmore of cannabis and sports, he's going to be on there.
Yeah, and how much convincing is this going to take for other players? Are the players behind this, they get it, or are there some that still hold on to reefer madness?
There are some.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know how the NFL is, but is it a microcosm of society? So you do have your evangelicals, conservatives in there. But then what about the rest of the players? You know, I know how much players smoke, but right now players are educated. So there are a lot of guys that are smoking for medicinal purposes instead of being on that pharmaceutical regimen that you start in freaking July and you end in December.
Mm.
Supposedly, you end in December.
Yeah, unless you make it in the playoffs, right?
Playoffs, but listen, you've been taking these things, they may be making you feel good. You're going to take them in March, you're going to take them in April, you're going to take them all the way through.
Yeah.
You know? And this is something that the NFL's biggest issue to me is the opiates, not marijuana. You know, they understand that. They know that. You're dealing with 20, 21, 22-year-old guys coming out of college. They know a certain percentage of them are smoking. Pass that one test, NFL doesn't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
NFL wants to get serious. And if any major league sports wants to get serious about saying we don't want our guys to smoke marijuana, do random unannounced drug tests.
Yeah.
And hair follicles.
Right. That'd be tougher for you, but.
See if you can feel the team that Sunday.
Yeah. I often make the joke that the NBA doesn't drug test its athletes in the offseason because they still want to field five guys for a team. You know?
Exactly. You know, NFL, NHL, even Major League Baseball, you know, it's not that really a big deal with them. The biggest thing should be HGH and the performing enhancing drugs, not this benign plant to me, you know. This is something that is coming. And so these guys can take our product instead of taking something that's pharmaceutical based.
Yeah.
Well said. Marvin Washington, thanks for sitting down with us. And give folks some contact information for the company and more information that they might need if they want to learn more about this.
Just go to HipMed Sports or Medical Marijuana, Inc., and you can look on the website. Then we also have a website called treatcte.org that is dealing with chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And then just holler at me on Twitter, mwash52.
Right on. I'll follow you right after the interview. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
And go Big Blue.
Go Black and Blue.
One of my favorite interviews of all time. NFL star and college football rival, Marvin Washington. His University of Idaho Vandals are now in the Sun Belt Conference because, you know, it's so sunny in Moscow, Idaho. They're 1-0, but they are facing this weekend the 1-0 and number 8 ranked Washington Huskies, which are coached by my former Boise State coach, Coach Pete. So there you go. There you have it. When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. Marijuana is safer than alcohol. That doesn't mean it's better than. We're going to talk about drug prejudice when we come back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
From dabs to chivas, sativas to indicas, we roll out a whole concentrate of fresh new content every week. It's like going from the greenhouse to the dispensary, CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be, the Vuber way.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
Obama, for instance, no matter what he said, there's a whole bunch of people that are going to be against him for saying whatever it is. Santa Claus is a nice guy. Someone says, no, Santa Claus must be a thief if Obama likes him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a racist attitude.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Each year on my birthday, every American gets a cupcake.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Today I want to talk about drug prejudice. You know, it's this this thing that I've experienced sometimes when I'm among people in the cannabis community, where they will hold cannabis up as being this great beneficial plant and healing herb and all that, and no disagreement, right? Totally agree. But in doing so, kind of look down on other drugs and other drug users. It'll take the form sometimes of we should legalize marijuana and then the cops can pay attention to real drugs, you know, the hard drugs, go after those meth people, right? And
it becomes this problem for me because I know a lot of people and they don't just smoke marijuana. I know a lot of people that enjoy, say, for example, magic mushrooms. And within the cannabis community, that it's interesting to me how there is all this kind of a hierarchy, too. Like, if you are somebody who likes to do mushrooms or acid, then that's not as big a deal if, say, you are someone who said you like to do cocaine. And then there'd be this negative moral kind of feeling about it. And this is something that interests me because as we continue on and marijuana becomes more and more accepted, cannabis becomes legalized, the prohibition begins to end across the nation, I have to naturally think, well, what is the arc of my career? What am I going to be talking about? Once we all agree that marijuana should be legal, and it is, what does Radical Russ rant about? Well, I like to think about what my friend Keith Strop has said from Normal. And he talked about how marijuana is just the messenger here. It's really about freedom that we're talking about. And it just comes down to it just so happens that it's the act of putting a joint to my lips and inhaling the smoke that the government wants to stop me from doing. But it's not the joint that's the problem. It's the stopping me from doing that's the problem. So as we move forward, marijuana becomes more legalized, but then what happens to the rest of the people? People that are using hallucinogens, people that are using club drugs, MDMA, a whole bunch of alphabet soup stuff that I don't know anything about. And indeed, even the drugs that can cause devastation, heroin, methamphetamine, cocaine, alcohol, even among the drugs that can cause this terrible devastation, it's important that we remember that that's not the majority of cases. We're often fond of pointing out that National Institute of Drug Abuse stat, that chart you'll often see in a Facebook meme about the likelihood of dependence. And it's all kind of some questionable, what does that really mean in the first place? But in that chart, we always point out that marijuana has the lowest rate. It's at 9%. 1 out of 11 people that try marijuana ends up with a quote-unquote dependence, which in a lot of cases, I believe, is just someone who likes to smoke pot every day. I smoke pot every day. Am I marijuana dependent? Maybe. If I didn't have some, maybe there'd be a problem. But I live in Oregon and I have some. It's like someone who's coffee dependent, right? Someone who's caffeine dependent. And by the way, that NIDA chart also says 9% for caffeine dependence, right? You know the people that, I can't get my day started without my first cup of coffee. That guy at the office or whatever. Well, that's caffeine dependence. You're a caffeine dependent. But is there a moral judgment to be ascribed to that? No, it just, you have welcomed caffeine into your life and is now a part of you. But is that evil? Is it bad? Is it wrong? I don't think so. So that's the interesting thing to me, is that NIDA chart that puts the cannabis and the caffeine at 9% also lists the other drugs. And so it'll have alcohol 15%, cocaine 23%, heroin, whatever it was at, it's close to 30, and so forth. As you look at those numbers, keep in mind that means the other group doesn't have a problem. Even if we're talking about, I forget the exact number on the chart. Let's say it's 23%. There's a 23% chance you'll become dependent on cocaine. So that means more than 3 out of 4 people who try it don't become dependent. And what I worry about sometimes is with marijuana is safer, we've kind of framed ourselves into this idea. In a sense, we've kind of tacitly accepted the prohibitionist viewpoint that drugs can be good or bad. Right, we've kind of painted ourselves into that corner by saying, "Wow, marijuana is safer than alcohol. Alcohol is accepted. Marijuana is safer, so it should be accepted." All right, so then you've established that there's this imaginary number line of safety upon which, at one point, we must lock people up for using that drug. And I just don't accept that. Now, someone's, you know, tweaking out on meth and ripping up copper to feed their habit. Arrest them for that. Get them some treatment, whatever. But remember, those are the minority of the users in the case of any drug. So let's not get ourselves painted into that corner, and let's have some compassion and understanding that, number one, drugs are neither good nor bad. It's your relationship with them that can be good or bad. But there is no bad drug. Number two, that the people that are using different drugs deserve our respect and understanding, and that we should never be, you know, using law enforcement to try to deal with any sort of health problem that, and of course, that's what some sort of serious drug addiction is a health problem. So I just counsel the cannabis community to keep that in mind and to avoid this drug prejudice that reinforces some of the prohibitionist talking points. And it's going to be a ways off, because you look at all the polls and they'll show you that, you know, now since 2014, it's like the last 10 straight national polls have shown greater than 50% support for marijuana legalization. But similar polls, you ask them about other drugs, the best comes out at close to 10%, 9 or 10% that'll support, say, legalizing mushrooms, for example. Heroin and meth get 3 or 4%, right? So how long will this drug prohibition continue, and how much worse does it get for the users of those drugs as the drug war begins ratcheting down on the cannabis side, where most of the action is? Those DEA cops, those agents, those attorneys, those prosecutors, they'll still be there. They'll still have jobs to do. They just now won't get the luxury of getting overtime and, you know, going out for plants and stuff. And now they'll be focusing it on what? The people with heroin problems or meth or coke? Drug courts, I imagine, right? We'll put them through drug courts. Of course, they fail those drug courts, then we put them in private prisons and we make a profit off of them. So we've got to make sure that we make this transition, I guess is what I'm coming across to. And again, this is maybe more directed at the West Coast and maybe the Northeast. Obviously, prohibition still reigns supreme in the Midwest and South. But we've got to avoid getting in the situation where we're talking about nobody deserves jail for a plant and then be seen as supporting SWAT raids on people over coca and opium plants or the products thereof, right? Let's just make sure that we are more cognizant of how we're coming off on this debate. And sometimes, you know, when you're in a debate situation, it can feel like a trap, right? Because it'll be like, so you support legalizing marijuana? So what's next? Legal cocaine? Legal meth? Legal heroin? Right? That slippery slope argument. I've always found it easiest to say, yes. Just what they do not expect, right? And you say, yes, all drugs should be legal. But legal is a spectrum that runs from chocolate to morphine. Cannabis should be closer to the chocolate side. Maybe some of those other drugs should be closer to the morphine side. But none of them should be on the side that puts people in jail for using them. Well, that's all the time we got in hour one. But stay tuned. Hour two is next on this hump day. We're going to talk about bad journalism on marijuana science. We've got the DEA wanting to snoop in prescription drug records and more on the Philippines' terrible drug war president. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. RussBellville.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.